Welcome to the Launch Button Podcast, where we allot the secrets of successful entrepreneurs and real estate investors who found the courage to hit the launch button and take control of their destiny. Join me, Hugh Zaretsky, bestselling author, seasoned real estate investor, and serial entrepreneur, as we dive deep into inspiring stories and invaluable lessons that will empower you to break free from the ordinary and pursue your true passions. Are you feeling trapped in a job that drains your passion and leaves you yearning for more? Are you ready to accelerate your business and or real estate investing to take it to the next level? It's time to ignite your dreams and embrace the limitless possibilities that life has to offer. Get ready to launch into the life you've always desired by pressing the launch button. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Launch Button Podcast, where we talk to entrepreneurs that have launched to success, whether it's in their personal life, whether it's in fitness, whether it's in their business. And today we got a special guest, Bruce, and he's helped launch a billion-dollar company, and he's working on his second billion-dollar company here with Legendary Brands and taking that protein pastry to a whole new level. Who even knew there was a protein pastry out there? But Bruce's background goes all the way back to his Marine Corps days, where he started out and then took him on the journey of just saying yes to opportunities like you need to do in life. So Bruce, welcome to the podcast, and tell everybody a little bit about your story from the Marine Corps to business.
Thank you very much for the introduction. It's an honor to be here. You know, I'll be honest with you, I could go back way far, but you know, I grew up very, very lower middle class, middle child of five. Always had a boyhood dream about being a police officer, which I thought I would have accomplished in my hometown. But when I solicited the police chief, who knew me very well, he said he thought I was young, dumb, and immature, basically, without calling me dumb. But he said, if you go in the Marine Corps, I'll hire you when you get out. And best thing I ever did, I went in the Marine Corps. I would say I brought no contributions to society until I went in the Marine Corps. Then I finally had a why and purpose. And I really say this, I went in a boy and came out a man, learned about, you know, honor, courage, and commitment, which are the core values of the Marine Corps. And that kind of set the foundation for the rest of my life. And I use those words when I talk about people in business or personal, I think about those things, what other people represent. So the Marine Corps was not expected, but it was really the tool I needed to get. So still, I wanted to be a police officer. And I thought, even when I was in the Marine Corps, I'd go back to my little hometown in Highbridge, New Jersey, 6-man police department, population 1,500. But once I traveled the world and I realized there's a big world out there, I ended up applying for the LAPD, which was a prestigious police department at the time, and joined the LAPD. And that started that career, which was a dream come true. I was a little boy. I was wanting to be a police officer. You know, relatives, uncles, cops, where everyone I knew was a police officer. I really looked up to them.
So you just love helping and serving people and being able to do that?
Yeah, I've always been. I wouldn't say I had a title to it, but I later on in life, I'm all about being a servant leader, helping other people. I really picked that up in the Marine Corps because I was protecting people, and then it just transitioned to when I was a police officer. I really, you know, the side of the car says to serve and protect, and I really embraced that as a police officer. And then, you know, to make extra money, ironically, if I ran into a retired police officer who had a security business, and we hit it off, and he said, you should come work with me. So I did it on the side hustle, nights and weekends, whenever I had time off. And I really gravitated once again to protecting other people and serving them, being in the background. And that it ended up becoming a multi-million dollar business, more than I ever imagined in my life. You know, dumb kid from New Jersey, and all of a sudden I'm like crazy making real money. And I enjoyed serving others, and that's what, to me, that's what my life has been all about, and it continues this day.
Yeah, I mean, you do that with your Legendary Brands and all the different things that you have going on. It's constantly about you serving people, even at the events. You just show up with like boxes of Legendary to hand out to people, and you're constantly just, right, how can I help people? How can I do that? So it's a great philosophy that you have, and it seems like you just said yes to the opportunities, right? You're like, hey, I want to be a police officer. They said, go here first. You said yes. And, you know, it wasn't everything you expected it to be, but yet it turned out to be the thing that you really needed, which is super interesting in life, right? As we go through. Now, saying yes to the opportunity of working, right, as a civilian or as protection for some of the top people in the industry. And you said that turned into a dollar business. Did you think that's where it was going, or you were just like, hey, I need extra money and let me just be support?
Yeah, I started out working for someone else. And then after a while, one of my clients actually encouraged me. I've been working for him for about a year on and off. He was a New Yorker, but he was here all the time. And he is said something to me, "Hey, are we paying you directly, your company?" And he was not, and I said, "No, I work for a company." He said, "Why don't you start your own company?" He goes, "You're just trading time for money, Bruce." And which I didn't really have a concept of what that meant, other than yes, I'm working hour for hour. So I started my own company, and I basically continued my relationship with him. To this day, he's my longest client. It's been over 30 years. But I started my own business, and I still didn't really know what that meant. I had a business, but then I started telling people, and one of my best friends owned a, he still owns a limousine company, transportation company. And I told him, "Hey, I started this security company." He says, "Oh, I'm so glad you told me," because he drove some of the biggest names in the world. And right off the bat, I'm getting a call, and he says, "Hey, Mariah Carey and her husband coming in town for a week. I need you to take care of them." And that kind of started a snowball, because once I did some work with them, I was in the music space now. I was in the label, and people would see me, ask who I was. I'd get a call from assistants and managers, and it kind of just parlayed to the point where I couldn't manage my time. It was so crazy.
That's awesome. And we want
Yeah.
to say thank you for your service in the Marine Corps. Like,
Appreciate
that's
it.
huge. And we really appreciate you protecting our country. Having been here during 9/11, I really appreciate that. And I worked with a lot of police officers, military veterans. So always seeing that success coming out of that. So let's just
That's
dive into
cool.
that for a second. You protecting people. What is the craziest or a story of protecting somebody and, that you like, or your favorite celebrity to protect, and why?
Well, it's easy for me to talk about people that have passed on already, because it's there's stuff. I will tell you this, I think the biggest kick for me was, as I was doing this, and I'll mind you, I never carried a cell phone or camera with me. I mean, now I do, but there back then there was no photos. But I would end up doing an event and get caught by a paparazzi at a premiere or something. I remember I worked with Sammy Davis Jr. He was the Grand Marshal of the Hollywood Parade, and I was with him for 2 days. We did press, and we're all over. Sadly, he deceased away like 6 months after the parade. But so they featured him in People magazine, and also my mom calls me one day and goes, "Bruce, you're in People magazine." I'm like, "What are you talking about, Mom?" So I went to the newsstand and bought it, and there I am, like, there's multiple pictures, but here I am, standing with him in his parade. But so that I probably more rewarding, because my mom was like, "Wow, you're pretty famous people." And then the following week, it was crazy enough. I'm at an event in Charlton Heston. Everyone knows Charlton Heston, right? Who's since passed on, but I ended up being assigned to him because of Vanity Fair for 3 days during a photo shoot. Those are more rewarding because my mom, they were people my mom looked up to, as opposed to, yes, when I've done work with Arnold for years, and Mariah Carey and different celebrities. She didn't really, like, to them, to they were no names to her. It meant nothing. So it was kind of cool that, like, my mom recognized that I had done some cool things in my life.
That's awesome.
As far and as far as stories, I think on a serious note, there's some really crazy people out there that do some crazy things. I mean, a guy showed up one of my clients' houses with he got on a bus from Alabama and came here and thought he was destined to marry one of my clients, and was sitting at the gate at her house, and we're like, "Well, that's not really how it works," and had to get mental evaluations involved. And so sometimes on a serious note, even though I smile all the time, there's some kooky people out there. And then on a lighter note, they're just people that, because I'm the buffer between a lot of people, the fans and what they wanted, what they needed, and overzealous fans. And I think overall people were good, but we always had to be cautious of the people that, are a little overzealous, without saying they're stalkers, but there are stalkers out there.
Yeah, it's amazing how people can get fixated on somebody and feel like they know that person without ever meeting them or
Right.
having.
There's a lot of studies on that. People, like, they live vicariously through what they see on social media, and they feel like, "Oh, gee." Or even they maybe read things on social media and say, "Oh, she's talking to me. She's looking for love in her life. Oh, that's me." And next thing you know, they're on a plane. So, and bless the fans, but sometimes they're a little much. But that's the biggest thing. And I became known. I'm a meticulous planner. I'm about planning, and I've done some very high profile weddings. I did Barbra Streisand's wedding, and it was probably 120 hours of planning, from the hot air balloons that we put up in the air so helicopters couldn't fly over property, all the logistics to make people's life peaceful so they can get in their wedding, enjoy it, get out. We left. We got her out of the wedding, and so no one followed. So a lot of security is just planning. I'm not, don't, don't get me wrong. I mean, I'm not that guy, the 300-pound guy that's standing in front of like a bouncer kind of guy. I'm more of a, let's get in and out. No one sees us. No one talks to us. And, oh, they're already gone. Yeah, great. That's the best kind.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, even in police work, right? Like I live here in New York City, you're in LA. Half the time we don't even know the cops are around. Like when something's really happening, right? It's all blended in, and that's the best type. I know you also got a chance to work with some on some sets and be a safe like a safety officer and stuff like that. And that's just through your relationships. And one of the things I love about you is you just continue to build those relationships and serve. So because you kept tests and things, you got pulled into some of the movies and
Yeah, the
describe a
technical
little bit about that.
thing happened. Two things happened. My friend Ronnie Hadar used to work for the original Power Rangers, the original one that I'm spawn produced. And he called me one day and said, "Hey, I'm producing some other movies, and I'm doing one with Tia Carrera. I need a cop." And he goes, "Can you play a cop?" I'm like, "I'm already a cop." So they just changed my badge and a different uniform, and I end up doing a couple roles and did a couple stunts and. As much as I wanted to, which were my actor friends, because they're like, "How are you getting this work?" But I knew people, and then I was on the set with Whoopi Goldberg and Michelle Pfeiffer. They were doing female detectives. I was actually Whoopi was one of my clients, and they had a scene where they were doing something with firearms, and they were holding them not appropriately, and I wasn't to do anything. I was just with her as a client, and the director said, "You guys aren't doing this right. We need to find someone." And Whoopi said, "Oh, Bruce is a cop. Oh, Bruce, come on up here and show him." So I'm okay. So I show him. We get done with that. And then the producer comes up and says, "Hey, can I use you on my next movie?" I'm like, "Sure. What's that mean?" So I became a technical advisor, which I didn't know even what that meant at the time. But now it's a business. I mean, I don't get called often because I don't pursue it. But there's movies and obviously safety is paramount on a movie set. People do get hurt, unfortunately. So I do that. It's like a side hustle. If I get called, cool. It's fun.
And so it just seems like you just keep rolling through the opportunity. And that led to tell us how you got involved in Quest.
So Quest, I was this. I think I was living my best life doing the bodyguard thing. I transitioned from being a full-time cop to being a reserve, which I'm still a reserve, but I just didn't have the capacity to do both. I mean, the security business was doing quite well. One day I'm in the gym and I serendipitously meet a woman, Shannon Penna, who goes by Quest Creator, and her husband, Ron. They work in the gym, and we'll say gym acquaintance. "Hey, how you doing? Good morning." And I, after meeting them, I ran into them at the fitness expo. This is actually the same one I'm working this weekend. They had a little booth, and I came across them, and they're like, "Oh, there's the guy from the gym. Oh, there's, you know, we, they a couple protein bars. They had just started the company. They had only had two flavors." And I remember seeing Shannon the next week in the gym and said, "Those bars are phenomenal. The taste, the texture." I grew up, protein bars were just okay over the years when I was a kid, and we wanted to talk for like an hour. She's a super foodie, I call it. She's a super foodie. Like, she's making them in her kitchen by hand, and her husband figured out how to commercialize them, make them in a commissary. And there was something about the energy she let off, and she's just a great human being. I had a compelling offer. I don't know why, where it came from. I said, "Hey, I'm doing security next week at a celebrity golf tournament that's being hosted at Riviera Country Club. My friend's doing the publicity. If you want to get me some bars, maybe I can give them to the PR department. They'll get them some celebrities' hands. I can't do it myself because I'm working as the capacity of security." She gave me some bars. My friend Cheryl said, "Oh, amazing. Yeah, let me some cool things." And she was getting people to try them on the red carpet, like on camera. No social media at the time. I need to remind everyone, no social media. Facebook just started, and there was a lot of blogs, those blogs you would get online. And Cheryl gave me some photos and video, which now we refer to as content. And I'm showing, Shannon, like, the next week in the gym, these photos. And she's like, "How do you know these people?" I said, "Well, this is what I do for a living." And I had to remind her. I end up getting on the set of Extra with Mario Lopez. Mario is literally giving them out on camera. He goes, "Oh, my friend Bruce came by, our security guy, and he dropped off these bars." The early days of the Kardashian shows, because we were not only we knew them, we got them to a production company. So over the course of 9 months, I'm getting product in people's hands, and it's really just for fun. I'm like, "Oh, they're cool people." And I remember Ron brought took me out to their office, which was in the hood, in the ghetto. It was this rundown industrial park, and I'm thinking, "Man, hope I don't know if they'll be in business in 6 months, but seems like cool people." Ron says, "Listen, we're stealing from you. You're bringing us all this value, and we are doing nothing in return." And my response was, "I get free protein bars." He laughed and said, "You're worth way more than that, Bruce." And he said, "Starting next Friday, we're going to put you on the payroll." I said, No, please, I'm good. I'm good financially. I just enjoy the company. You guys got a great brand." And he said, "You could give it to charity, do whatever you want, but we have to pay you." So once they paid me, something clicked inside me, and whether it was the upbringing I had my father about work ethic and earning money and how, and you know, every, when I had a paper out, I'd save all the money and have cash. I felt really compelled. I'm like, oh, damn, now I need to prove myself. I'm actually getting paid. And that started this. I just started showing up, and send, they'd say, hey, there's this event. What do you think? And I put it on my own credit card. I sum it up this way. I became an intrapreneur inside their organization, not an entrepreneur, but with an I, an intrapreneur. I kind of just did my own thing. Like Ron, and I love what he says. He even says it to this day. We had a meeting like a couple weeks ago. He said, every business has 99 problems. He goes, can you guys take problems off my plate and please don't bring me problems? You know, most employees bring problems. Hey, boss, I need this, I need that. So I started figuring out what the company needed. Oh, events. Oh, ambassador program. And it did into something that I could never imagine. And it really became a true why and purpose in my life.
So say that again, because that's a point for all the listeners out there, right? Instead of bringing problems to your boss, you're taking problems off of them and finding the solutions, correct?
Yeah, most, yeah. And Ron, even though people, we get new people come in the company and they have a title, let's say VP of something, they think there's a hierarchy. And Ron is just the opposite. He goes, listen, I'm just a figurehead. Like, yes, I own the company technically, I'm the founder, but don't bring me problems. Just bring me solutions. Say, hey, Ron, we had this problem. We already hear the answer. Great. Perfect. Love you guys. The problem is most people bring problems. So if you're there, even you, whether you're an employee, an entrepreneur, whatever capacity you're at, think about what the owner or the founders or the investors need and say, let me get problems off their plate. Don't let me bring problems. So it was a big turning because he also reminds us pretty regularly. We had a meeting recently and someone was talking about, well, I got to get that okay. And he goes, and he said, by who? Well, there's no hierarchy here. Just do it. You know, I'd rather have you make a mistake and get it done than go through this process of 6 weeks later, people are still pondering, oh, well, I'm not sure about the art. I'm not sure about the font. I'm not sure about the color. Wait, who's involved? Just get the project done. And worst case is it flops and we do, you know, something else. So people need to think more like that in business. They get caught up in the wheels of the minutiae of just, you know, meetings and
Yeah, and there's a great quote out there, right? Done is better than perfect, right? Get it done, and you can always change it later. But if you try and wait for it to be perfect, it's never going to be perfect, right? Somebody's always going to
yeah.
have to do something.
And we would do launches sometimes, and Ron and always did like art and packaging. And I have one time at Quest, we had a new flavor bar. And he said, guys, here's what we're doing. He goes, we're going to take the white labels. They're not done, no branding on them yet. And you're going to put bars in them and seal them. And you're going to send a note out saying, we called it Quest Labs. He goes, welcome to our secret society or something. He goes, I'm not waiting for you guys to finish art. And we've sent out thousands of these bars unmarked with a note. And people will go batshit crazy. Oh my God, I got the latest product before it's even released to the public. But he would say, I'm not waiting for you guys. I'm sending product out. I don't care if it's in a brown paper bag. We're sending product out. And listen, who cares if there's a typo? It just get the stuff in people's hands. But people get too caught up in like the final, and no one ever agrees, by the way. We had a blueberry flavor. And we used to have, you know, someone would come around from the art department with like the final, you know, like the final packaging. And I swear, everyone would have to sit down and look at it, and you'd sign your initials on it around this page. And there'd be sometimes 15, 20 people would read it and sign it. 20 different people signed off on the art for blueberry, and we spelled it blurberry when it went out in the when it literally a customer did and made a post on Instagram said, I don't know who taught these guys how to spell, but blurberry or whatever. And it remembered because we all looked at each other. Every one of these idiots, including me, signed off on the art. So that just goes to show. You know what I mean? We read or see what we want to see. So anyway.
Awesome. Awesome. It's a great story and a great tidbit for people, right? We get so caught up in those little details that sometimes we miss the bigger ones, which
Yeah.
the name obviously was spelled wrong on that. Yet everybody was worried about like the colors and the schemes and didn't focus
Yeah.
on what the major thing was.
Yeah.
So you go through Quest, right? You're a while, and then obviously it explodes, it goes public. All the different things happen. And how did you go from there to Legendary Pastries?
So Quest, yeah, was a rocket ship. We were the second fastest growing company on Inc. 500 in the country. And I introduced to a private equity firm who actually invested some money. And then the conversation was about selling, which I was really not clear on how business worked at the time. So we go to we bring in a new CEO and clean up our market, and we sell it to Atkins, which is a a long history of Atkins Nutrition. So they bought it, and it was a $1 billion cash acquisition. But when we were going to sell it, which a year in advance, easy, we knew we were going to sell it. He said, I'm going to start this other company, and we've secured a name called Legendary Foods. So a year before we even sold Quest, he went to the investors and said, "Hey, I want to start this side hustle." We couldn't make protein because of non-compete, but we used to make nut butters, and we would make seeds and nuts. And even though all the painstaking years we had, 7 years of Quest, I found myself in a kitchen commissary in Pasadena, California, on mornings 3 times a week with a hairnet on and a lab coat, making in these big vats seeds and nuts. Because we started again from ground zero. So we did that for the first 2 or 3 years. And then once we sold, the non-compete was up, and then we finally transitioned to the protein pastries. But the first 3 years of Legendary was nut butters and seasoned nuts. But it was painstaking. It was no, we worked out of Ron's house, like his he had a house he sold that we worked out of a vacant house. There was no luxury. There was no because we had this mindset, and not everyone embraced this. Yeah, we made money from Quest, but he said it's a whole new opportunity. Like we're broke. There's no funding. We're going to start from ground zero. And not everyone got on with that. He brought, I think, a team of maybe 6 or 7 or 8 from Quest. And people either were, I use the word fat and lazy, because they were already like, "Hey, man, we already hit the dinner table." And or they wanted to have so much money in advance that it just was sustainable. And he said, "Listen, we're bootstrapped." And but I love the mindset, because it just worked well. It worked well for what we created, you know?
Yeah, and that's what it is. Sometimes when people make it, they can't go backwards, right? Like they get used to that lifestyle, they get used to those expenses.
Yeah, very few people, like for instance, Quest was a great success, but many companies that have that kind of financial success, it's kind of hard to replicate. And it's also hard because I hate to say it, you get fat and lazy. Hey, I had a home run. I already made this much money. Do I really want to go through this again? Like, God, I remember all the aches and pains. But Ron, like, and don't get me wrong, it was a couple tough years where, like, jars were leaking. Everything that happens in the food space happened. I don't care how successful you are, but we just kept saying, "Okay, well, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out." And even when we first started making the pastries, they weren't protein. They were like a healthier version of a Pop-Tart with a minimal amount of protein. They were okay. Looking back, they were horrible. But at the time, we thought they were good. Yeah. But not everyone could do it. Well, sometimes you do it one time, and it's like every business. It could be real estate or construction. Hey, you made your money. Oh, do I want to build another house? Not really, but
Right. So you exit a $1 billion company, you restart from scratch, and you guys are building Legendary. So now there's protein donuts, there's protein pastries, you guys got the chips, you guys are taking it in a whole new direction rather than just the bars like Quest was. It's a whole new product line, it's a whole category that in essence you're inventing from scratch, right?
I think I could best describe it this way. Don't get me wrong, I love the protein bar space. I still buy protein bars when I travel. I still buy Quest bars when I go to the airport. But what we figured out is Legendary, I best describe as more relatable foods. Everyone, if you grew up in the States, has had a Kellogg's Pop-Tart. I don't care if it was when you were a kid or when you were in college or even when you're an adult. It's somewhere, I just need snacks. We now have a protein Pop-Tart, which we can't use that word, but a protein pastry with 20 grams of protein. We now have chips. Everyone desires. I mean, you get that chip craving. We've got sweet rolls, which are like Cinnabons, the kind you walk to the airport and smell that. It's so obviously low carb, gluten free, and protein. And now we have donuts. And the donuts, I think you might have tried them at Craig's Mastermind. They remind me like when you were a kid, you buy the little sleeve of 4 or 5 Hostess donuts. So we're making more relatable. And I use this analogy: a picture going to this is gonna happen because it happened to Quest. You go to a Super Bowl party at your friend's house, and you got the Doritos, the Oreos, all guacamole, and then you're going to have the Legendary table, donuts, chips, all the things that are going to be better for you. And that's our goal. We want to make it relatable. Like, listen, I walk into 7-Eleven sometimes, and I see those Hostess Twinkies and Yohoos, and I'm like, damn it, and or and I'm like, man, I can buy it all. But we want to have options for people, and that's our goal. We have. By the time this gets launched, we're launching macaroni and cheese.
Oh,
But
wow.
it's and to me, I've never been a huge. I mean, I've had Kraft macaroni as a kid, but it tastes like Kraft macaroni and cheese. But everything is 20 grams of protein, so we're on to, I think, and we're gonna have a different flavors. But so we're on to something. We're gonna have foods that everyone's relatable to, as
Yeah.
opposed to a protein bar, which not everyone's relatable to a protein bar, you know? When you have relatable foods, I think it makes much better, no?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's that whole theory, like, when people go to weddings and they pay that, tens of thousands and $30,000 for a cake, and everybody actually likes like the hostess cake that your mom for your birthday better, right? When you bite into
Yeah,
that, you're getting
exactly.
as well. So that's what you're relating here, and you're changing that space to give us a healthy substitute for all the bad
Yeah.
things that we ate growing up, right?
Yeah, exactly. And
Let's
that's our
talk.
goal. No, and the only caveat with the difference between Quest and Legendary, and it's kind of a, I think it's more rewarding for us to give back my mindset mentality is over hanging out with these guys, mostly guys, but women too, but hanging out with our group for the last 16 years, we've all concluded we're all going to be affected by cancer and heart disease. At least every single person on earth will be, whether it's you directly or a loved one. And we are now spending about $5 million a year of our own money on cancer research and heart disease and other things. At our headquarters, we have our own scientists, our own labs. We have an orthopedic surgeon who is in-house. And I say that only because I think we're all about giving back. I mean, we want to see our friends live longer. And the older you get, people are affected by disease. So that's the only caveat that's much different than Quest compared to Legendary, where I say it kind of tongue in cheek, we sell donuts to cure cancer. I mean, that's eventually going to be our goal. We're going to sell good food so we can alive longer.
So you guys are actually taking a part of the profits and using that to fund the
100%.
research like
No,
that thought.
no outside grants. Just we're spending our money. And it's getting bigger. We're just moving into a new headquarters, which I hope next time you're in California, visit us. It's 35,000 square feet. I best describe it like a Google WeWork. I've never been to the place so nice, but that's going to be our final stop. We're not going to outgrow that, but got a podcast studio, got all these cool things there. But yeah, that's our goal, have people live longer,
Awesome. That's a
Yeah.
great goal. And so everybody listening to the podcast, make sure you go to your local store, make sure you go to your local place to pick up some legendary pastries. Definitely give them a try. I know, we're going to meet at a couple of the Final Percent events with Dr. Greg. We first met you in Colorado, and then we got to hang out again in
Yeah.
LA. And I know my team loves them. We take them everywhere. We enjoy them. And if you're nice enough, Bruce will even send you a box. So if you
That's
hit a reply on the podcast. We'll get them over a list, and maybe you'll receive some legendary in the mail in the future for dinner.
absolutely.
Now, you have a philosophy, and we're going to go deeper in a couple minutes on the Inside podcast about never showing up empty-handed.
Empty-handed.
Definitely go into that. But tell me a little
Yeah,
bit
thank you.
about where that philosophy comes from. Where did that start on? When did you start realizing just by showing up and, handing out the bars like you did with all the celebrities?
It's interesting. I don't know if there's a clear line, but I will tell you this. My father was instrumental in what I've done in my life. And early on, like I said, we grew up low middle class, but he was an electrical contractor, but he always gave back. Like, even though he wasn't really into sports, like he would be our football coach, little league coach. He started our scout program, and he was our scout leader and helped me with my Eagle Scout program. Like, he was very instrumental in guiding me. And it's crazy looking back. I talked about this at Greg's event. We went mountain climbing, we went like cave dwelling, we would do a canoe trip, we'd go hiking 50 miles. I say all that because I watched my father giving back, but when you're a kid, you don't comprehend it. I'd be like, why are all the neighborhood kids want to hang out with my dad? He's not that cool. But he gave back and gave back. So And I don't know about the actual showing up empty-handed, but I related it to he was always giving. And then when I even became when I started my protection business, I didn't have protein bars. I was a guy, right? But what I did do, I would go to Costco and buy jars of candy. That's all. I mean, now what? I didn't think about, and I would put my company sticker on them. I'd buy cases of them. And everywhere I went, if I went to a meeting at a studio, if I went to an executive's office, I went to a celebrity's. And it was always give them a jar. Hey, I just want to say thank you for your business. And they would always, oh my God, that's so kind of you. And I realized something. It doesn't take a lot to show gratitude and appreciation. And now I've evolved it to now I feel like it's like almost on steroids. I go everywhere, and even it's funny, these guys will go to meetings with me and they'll be like, damn, I knew I forgot something, Bruce. I'm sorry. Like they would my people on my team would be like, thank God you're here to bring product. And I'm very aware of it now. Like I went to a bunch of holiday parties this past Christmas time, and I noticed, and it really like I don't want to say it bothered me, but to me, if you walk into someone's home and you don't, I don't get a bottle of champagne or flowers for the house. I watch my friends just come in and wipe out the food and bar and leave, and I'm thinking, God, like you know, to me, it's just a normal, gracious thing to thank the host for their for. I look at it the same way in business. You're allowing me to do business with you. I want to thank you for that. Is it a lot? No, but it's to me, it's just in my DNA now. Like I can't go anywhere without something in my hand.
That's awesome. And people really appreciate it. I know we appreciate it. Like the last event we did in Hubble Studios, there was no real food in the area. So we had to have everything delivered for that like 2.5 day event. And then you had a whole table of the legendary pastries and they were there and everybody was just able to do it. And it's a great benefit also for your business because people are trying them and they're like, hey, I like this. We're gonna go do it. I mean, I never heard of Legendary until our Colorado event. And then, we're out here in New York City buying them at the store. And you'd send me that video and you're like, here you go. We're like, yeah, it's right here. So we're going to go ahead and support our friends, right? So even
I
if you
appreciate it.
can't bring something to an event, make sure you go support your friends, right? Go buy their products, go like their Instagram posts, go do those types of things. So we're going to hop on the
Exactly.
Inside podcast. And one of the things that Bruce is doing, and he's continuing to grow and evolve as he's becoming a speaker, as he's doing more podcasts and stuff and working on his talks, we're going to go deeper on the Inside podcast on the show, never show up empty-handed, like more suggestions on how to do that and how that relates in business. And then as you learn a new skill to give yourself some grace, right? And Bruce is learning to become that public speaker on stage, give those presentations. And as he goes through that and makes that transition, we're going to go a little deeper into that on the Inside podcast. So everybody here, make sure you hit the hearts and likes. Make sure you follow Legendary on their social media platform. There is, whether that's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, make sure you're getting out there and do that. Make sure you go to the store and buy some Legendary so we can help fight cancer and allow that research to continue because that's what you're doing. And just like Bruce says, just about every family in this country is affected by cancer in some way. And now that you're supporting donuts to support cancer, you can actually do it for a good and healthy way. So we'll see everybody on the next episode of the Launch Button Podcast. And make sure you reach out to Bruce and hit the hearts and the likes. And we'll see you next time. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you for joining us on the Launch Button Podcast, your gateway to unlocking your true potential and pursuing your passions. Don't let the journey end here. For more empowering insights, valuable resources, exclusive content, and free giveaways, visit www.thelaunchbuttonpodcast.com. At The Launch Button, we're dedicated to helping you break free from the ordinary and embrace a life filled with purpose and fulfillment. Dive deeper into our episodes, access bonus materials, and connect with like-minded individuals on our website and our private community group. Are you ready to take the next steps towards your dreams? Subscribe to The Launch Button Podcast on your favorite podcast platform and never miss an episode. Remember, the power to transform your life lies within your grasp. Press the launch button and soar towards success. For more updates, behind-the-scenes content, and exclusive offers, follow us on social media, join the conversation using hashtag the launch button, and share your journey with our vibrant community. Thank you for being a part of the Launch Button family. Together, let's ignite our dreams and embark on this journey together of growth and discovery. Visit www.thelaunchbuttonpodcast.com and let's continue to launch your greatness. See you there.